Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time. Bible Crossfire, where we allow you to call in and ask your Bible questions and make your Bible comments. Let's take a call right now. Jim from Iowa, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
It's a comment. You go any Saturday, you go to a college football game, you look up in the stands, 60, 80,000 people there, right? You make you wonder how many people, what's going to happen to all those people? How many of them are saved? You take that to every college football game on any Saturday across the United States, some got 100,000 sitting there. Makes you wonder. This is something I thought about.
The thing is, we need to make sure, Pat needs to make sure that I'm saved, that I'm living faithfully to Christ and worshiping with the sound church. Jim needs to make sure that he's living faithfully to Christ, worshiping with a faithful, sound church. Because we should do our best to get out and try to convert the lost, but we also need to make sure that we're living in accordance with God's word. Right, Jim?
Yeah, but you still wonder about all the rest of them.
Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd talk about Mormonism. And I want to begin by saying this, because knowing my audience, I'm pretty sure that everybody that's listening to me will agree that Mormonism is a false religion. Well, they have so many false doctrines. They contradict the Bible so much. They teach so much error. I want to start off by saying this. If Mormon false doctrine or Mormon error means God does not approve of them, then why not the same for other churches? Other churches teach error, teach false doctrine. Why can't we understand that God does not approve of them either on the same basis? Let's talk about both of those concepts as we go through. Here's a quote from the book of Helaman, chapter 14. That's one of the books of the Book of Mormon. It says, "There shall be no light upon the face of this land, even from the time that he," talking about Jesus, "shall suffer death, to the time that he shall rise again from the dead. Darkness should cover the face of the whole earth for the space of 3 days." So the Book of Mormon is saying that when, in conjunction with Jesus' death, there was darkness for 3 days. But we know what Matthew 27:45 says, the Bible actually came from God. It says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." So the darkness was not there for 3 days. It was there for 3 hours. Now, Joseph Smith, he concocted the Book of Mormon. I'm pretty sure he's the author. Okay. He made it all up. And I think he got confused here. He knew that the Bible talked about darkness, and he knew it was three something and others, but he got confused and said 3 days because he knew that was the time between Jesus' death and his resurrection. So he thought that there was darkness from his death to his resurrection, 3 days, and he forgot that actually in the Bible it was just 3 hours. Now, if the Bible is inspired of God, and we know that it is, and it says 3 hours, and the Book of Mormon says 3 days, that contradicts the Bible. And that means if the Bible is from God, the Book of Mormon can't be from God. I suspect everybody on this radio listening audience would agree with me on that. We all understand the Mormons as a false religion. They teach false doctrine, error. Okay? But if these, as I said, if these contradictions with the Bible that the Mormon church has, if that means that they're not God's approved church, then what about these churches? How about the Methodist church? Everybody turn in their Bible to James 2:24 if you have it, access to one. The Methodist Creed book says this: "Justification by faith only is the most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort." No doubt the Methodists then, and other churches, but the Methodist Creed book teaches justification by faith only. Now, compare that with James 2:24, where God says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Methodist Creed book says justification is by faith only. God's book says justification is by works and not by faith only. A direct contradiction. Now, why is it that when the Mormon church contradicts the Bible by teaching darkness for 3 days, when we know the Bible says 3 hours, why is it that that means the Mormon church is a false religion and God does not approve of it? But it doesn't mean the same thing about the Methodist church when they contradict the Bible on perhaps an even more important subject. Is justification by faith only? They say it is. The Bible says that it's not. A direct contradiction. Well, the truth is they're both wrong. They're both in error. The Mormon church is wrong because they teach false doctrine and contradict the Bible. The Methodist church is just as wrong because they teach false doctrine and contradict the Bible. God does not approve of any of that, either one, Mormon church or Methodist church. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. How about this quote from the Book of Mormon? 2 Nephi 2:22-23. It says, if Adam had not transgressed, they would have had no children. But, Genesis 1:28, God said unto them, this is before they sin, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply before they sin, but the Book of Mormon says if he hadn't transgressed, they wouldn't have had any children. A direct contradiction again. The Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible. And if the Bible's the Word of God, then we know the Book of Mormon's not the Word of God. It's a false religion. Now, so, you know, the Mormons not only claim the Book of Mormon is inspired, but they think of their Doctrine and Covenants and their Pearl of Great Price also is Scripture. Well, here's the Doctrine and Covenants 42:18. He that kills shall not have forgiveness in this world nor in the world to come. The Mormons teach that murder is the unpardonable sin. Not the Bible doesn't teach that. People can be forgiven for murder. The unpardonable sin, according to the Bible, is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I think we all know that. Matthew 12:31-32, Jesus said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Now that's including murder, rape, homosexuality, if a person's willing to repent. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Very similar to the Mormon quote, but the Mormon quote is talking about murder. This quote is talking about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The blasphemy is of the Holy Spirit against the Holy Spirit is the only sin that God will not forget, even if you repent. There's only one. Any other sin you can be forgiven for if you're willing to repent based upon the blood of Christ. Another contradiction between the Book of Mormon and what the Bible says. And since the Bible comes from God, we know if the Book of Mormon or the Mormon scriptures contradict it, then we know the Mormon scriptures are not from God. But don't we have other churches that do the same thing? Don't they contradict the Word of God? How about a number of churches, including the Pentecostal church, that promote women preachers? A lot of churches promote women preachers, allow women to preach from the pulpit in the church service when the whole church has come together into one place. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Well, let's read 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. It says three times there, women are not to speak in the church. Let your women keep silence in the churches. 34, also in 34, it is not permitted unto them to speak. And at the end of verse 35, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. I sometimes say this is the clearest passage in the Bible on any subject, teaching us clearly that women should not be preaching in the church service. But many churches, like the Pentecostal church, allow it. Now, if the Mormon church is not approved of by God because they teach error, they contradict the Bible, they have false religious teaching, then what about these churches that allow women to preach from the pulpit? Wouldn't it be the same thing? Why wouldn't we draw the same conclusion? Aren't they in the same boat? Well, they are. Anybody's in the same boat. If Pat Donahue teaches false doctrine, he's going to be lost for teaching false doctrine. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Matthew 15, verse 14. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15, verse 9. If Pat teaches the doctrines of men, if I lead people astray, I'm going to be lost. Anybody is. It's not just the Mormons are going to be lost for their error. Anybody who teaches error will be lost for that. We need to repent of our sins and get forgiveness based upon the blood of Christ. How about the book of Ether, chapter 1, verse 35? Let me mention the number again. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open if you want to call in and get on the air. Well, let's go ahead and take this call. Bill from Ontario, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, can women ask questions in a Bible study prior to the service inside the church?
Yes, you notice, you know, in the church service, they can't ask questions. Verse 35 says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So they can't even ask a question in the church service. But the setting of that, it says in the church, what does he mean by that? Well, 23 says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place. So when the church is in different places, Bible classes, Sunday school classes, you know, usually based upon age groups and things like that, maybe a larger church might have 10 different classes going on. They're not in the church service. They're not in the place, the whole church come together in one place. It's okay for a woman to ask a question there. But then when they all leave those Bible classes, Bill, and they all come together into one place, verse 23, that's when it says women are to keep silence in the church. That's when it says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. You know, you could have a Bible class at home where women are teaching other women. Well, are we going to say that a woman cannot speak there, cannot teach the class, or cannot ask a question when it's just a ladies' Bible class at home? Well, that's really what we're talking about when we talk about the Sunday school classes. It's a woman teaching a ladies' Bible class. Any follow-up on that, Bill?
Nope, that's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, you want to get on the air. Ether 135, that's a book in the Book of Mormon, says, therefore he did not confound the language of Jared. But anybody familiar with Genesis 11, verse 9, knows that it says, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. At the Tower of Babel, the Bible says he confounded all the languages of all the earth. The Book of Mormon says, well, no, he didn't confound the language of Jared. Another contradiction, of course. And then the Doctrine and Covenants, 84:18. The Lord confirmed a priesthood also upon Aaron and his seed throughout all their generations, which priesthood also continueth and abideth forever. So if you talk to any Mormons, they'll say, yeah, the priesthood of Aaron is still in effect. But Hebrews 7:12 says, for the priesthood being changed, there's made a necessity, a change also of the law. The priesthood's changed. It's been changed. Matter of fact, there's no way Jesus could be a priest if the priesthood hadn't changed. That's the point of Hebrews 7. Jesus is our priest. Not only that, he's our high priest, but he couldn't be a priest because he's not from the tribe of Levi. He's not from the tribe of Levi. And you had to be the Levitical priest. It was called the Levitical priesthood because you had to be from the tribe of Levi. So the Book of Mormon says the priesthood's the same. The Bible says the priesthood has changed, Hebrews 7:12. So if the Bible is God's word, then we know the Book of Mormon is not God's word because it contradicts the Bible. Well, what about the Baptist Church? Wouldn't, if they teach error, wouldn't they be in the same boat as the Mormon Church? Baptist Church teaches baptism is not necessary to salvation. But we have many passages like Mark 16:16 that teach that baptism is necessary to salvation. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. How about John chapter 3, verse 5? Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you're baptized in water, you cannot be saved. How about Acts chapter 2, verse 38? Peter told some believers there, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. People aren't saved when they believe. These believers were told to repent and be baptized to get their sins forgiven. Now, it's not the baptism per se that saves you in the sense that it's the earning basis or the grounds. There's no magic in the water. No, that's not it. It's the blood of Christ that saves you when you're baptized. Don't we see that from Acts 22, verse 16? Saul had already believed, Saul of Tarsus, of course, later known as Paul the Apostle. He had already believed at least 3 days before this, but Ananias tells him in Acts 22, 16, "And now why tarriest thou?" Meaning, what you waiting on? "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Saul's sins weren't washed away by the blood of Christ when he believed. No, 3 days later, at least 3 days later, he was still in his sins and he was told to get baptized to get his sins washed away. By the blood of Christ, of course. There's no magic in the water. Baptism is the condition that we have to meet in order to be saved by the blood of Christ, the death of Christ. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth also now save us. And we know it's talking about water baptism there because it's compared to the waters of the flood. Noah and his eight souls and the eight souls being saved physically through water. They didn't drown. But the water was involved. And then baptism saves us spiritually. Water baptism. That just means you got to be baptized to be saved. Well, we looked at, how about Galatians 3, 26 and 27? "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So no doubt we're children of God by faith. But 27 begins with the little word "for," meaning introduce the reason. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The reason you're a child of God by faith is because you've been baptized into Christ. The way you became a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. And if you're baptized into Christ, as this verse says, that would imply that before you're baptized, you're not in Christ. You can't be saved if you're not in Christ. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us. The lines are wide open. The number is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. So if the Mormon Church is not approved of by God, because they contradict the Bible, they teach religious error, then wouldn't the Baptist Church be in the same boat when they teach you don't have to be baptized to be saved? Wouldn't it mean that? Okay, Doctrine and Covenants, another Mormon quote here. "The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's." But let me read John 4:24 and Luke 24:39 jutted together. "God is a spirit, and a spirit hath not flesh and bones." God does not have a physical element to him. He's not physical. He's a spirit. He does not have flesh and bones. Okay? But the Mormons say that the Father has a body of flesh and bones. It all goes back to the Adam God doctrine. They really believe that Adam became our God. And then Alma 46:15, Christians, as they were called, because of their belief in Christ, who should come. And the Mormons tell us that was in 73 BC. In other words, they're saying, based upon their scriptures, is that people were called Christians in 73 BC before Christ. But Acts 11:26 says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now that's probably, who knows, that's probably 120 years later, you know, maybe 150 years later, somewhere around there, maybe 125 years later, the Bible says they were called Christians first, and the Mormons are saying, no, they were called Christians 125 years before that. The Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible, doesn't it? That means, am I right, that God does not approve of them? If so, what would that say about the Presbyterian Church that says a Christian can't fall from grace? Or you might have heard that as the term, once saved, always saved. But a lot of churches teach you can't fall from grace. That once you become a Christian, it's impossible for you to fall. But Galatians 5:4 says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." So many churches will say you can't fall from grace. This verse, in talking about some Christians in that day who were trying to be justified by the Old Testament law, it says you are fallen from grace. Obviously, it's possible. You can't fall from a tree if you never were in the tree. And you can't fall from grace unless you're in grace to start with. These people were in grace. They were saved. Then they try to bind things like circumcision from the Old Testament law. You know, the Jews who were converted to Christ, Acts 15, were saying the Gentiles converted to Christ had to be circumcised to be saved. Paul's saying when you do that, you are falling from grace. You lose your salvation. A lot of churches teach you can't lose your salvation. This verse, and maybe, just maybe exaggerating a little bit, but maybe at least one verse on every page of the Bible tells you you can fall from grace. Many, many dozens of passages prove you can fall from grace. Well, if when the Mormons teach error, that means God does not approve of them. What does that say about the churches like the Presbyterian Church and the Baptist Church and other churches that teach once saved, always saved? You know, that aren't in that error, just like the Mormon Church teaching error? It is, isn't it? So if it means the Mormon Church is not approved of God when they teach religious error, then it would mean the same thing about any other church or any other person claiming to be a Christian who teaches error, wouldn't it? Sure would. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Now, here's something from the Journal of Discourses. I don't think the Mormons claim this is scripture, but it's one of their official books. They say in this book, page 769, Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. But we have Matthew 1, verse 20, says, "For that which was conceived in her," talking about Mary, "is of the Holy Ghost," Jesus. So he was begotten of the Holy Ghost. And then we have the Mormons use bread and water for the Lord's Supper, the communion, but Matthew 26:29 says, "I will drink of this fruit of the vine." So there's two more contradictions. They say he was not begotten of the Holy Ghost, Jesus, he was. They use water for the Lord's Supper, and the Bible says use fruit of the vine. Is this Bill from Ontario?
Yes.
Go ahead with your question or comment, Bill.
1 Peter 3:6, women are to have the faith of Sarah, who called her husband master. Women get kind of offended by that today. Would that be proper to use that today?
My version uses Lord. So 1 Corinthians 11:3 says this: "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, that's what it's talking about over there. Master, Lord just means, we'll say, boss. The husband is the head of the family, just like Christ is the head of man, and just like God the Father is head over Christ. So it may offend some people, especially the ERA people, Equal Rights Amendment people, Bill, the liberals. But the Bible does teach that men are over women. The head of the woman is the man, 1 Corinthians 11:3. So that was true under the Old Testament, as you pointed out, Bill. In 1 Peter 3:6, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and that's true under the New Testament. So whether to offend somebody or not, we got to preach the truth on it, don't we, Bill?
That's correct. So are we fair to tell our women how to dress and whether they can work or they can't work?
Well, I think what we need to do is each family, instead of you or me deciding, we'll let each family decide that together. But the head, the husband is the head of the wife. So we're looking at these Mormon contradictions of the Bible, okay? And we say, well, that proves the Mormon Church is not approved of by God. Well, what about the Episcopal Church that allows gay marriage? Romans 1, 26 and 27 proves that gay marriage is wrong. You know, the lesbians and the gay men, they're... The 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 uses the word homosexual, and the New King James Version condemns that. If a Mormon church is wrong because they teach false doctrine, then so is the Episcopal Church because they teach false doctrine. The Mormon church says that Joseph Smith is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:23 says Christ is the head of the church. Anyway, we're going to have to go off the air. Appreciate you listening. The website, BibleCrossfire.com, if you want to ask me a question over email or listen to old programs, or if you'd like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at my cell phone, 256-682-9753. Free 1 hour phone Bible study. Call or text me. 256-682-9753.